Are you struggling to keep up with demand?
Or need of new items you can't afford?
You know you can make money from renting out items from other rental companies, right?
Huh?
How?
Stay tuned as we discuss subrenting, how to do it,
and the pros and cons.
All right, so tomorrow Carson wants to know, if we subrent items, do we let the company know we're subrenting items? Two, do we use our personal names as the renters? And three, does it make us liable whenever things go wrong with the equipment?
Subrenting is when you rent an item from another company in order to rent for your client. An example of subrenting would be when, we'll say you run out of tables, we'll say 6 foot. So you go to your local buddy competitor and you rent some 6 foot to rent to your client that already had a contract for those 6 foot.
One of the easiest ways to get other companies to allow you to subrent is to tell the company that you want to subrent. And then once you tell them, you want to have some type of agreement set up so they can understand where the item's going to go, and also to be able to clear everything up. Because you don't want to go out and subrent from somebody and don't tell them, and then something bad happens, and then you got to tell them, hey, I don't actually have the items, and, or whatever happens. Because then you void the contract, and that can open you up to a whole amount of other things that possibly can go wrong.
So generally, you've already talked to the other business that you're subrenting this item. So paperwork is super easy. It's generally a contract between both of y'all agreeing that you're subrenting this item to your client.
So if something was to go wrong, you want to make sure that on your contract that you have your company listed on there. If your company is you, then you would have worked the deal out and maybe it comes underneath you, but you want to make sure you actually work with them. But the person who's responsible, you got basically three levels. You have the client, you have you, and then you have the subleaser and everything like that. So you will be liable to the subleaser if stuff doesn't get returned, but the client will be liable to you to pay you to make sure you can pay the subleaser. So you want to make sure you have kind of all this worked out as well. So you should already have this in your contract with the client so they understand that. So if something breaks or something like that, that you have something covered for them. But generally what will happen if you have a subleaser, they will have it where you don't have to pay either your damage waiver, and you would pass that on to the client, and then you use that to cover any costs. And hopefully your items are cheaper than what you're subleasing them for, so you can make some money and you have some room in case something was to happen. But when it all comes down to it, based on your contract, their contract is with you, not with the end client. So you have to make sure that you can also meet the obligation of what they're going to ask you to pay if the client messes something up. But you need to hold the client accountable as well.
So you mentioned that all of this process has to be inside of your contract. So do you offer two different contracts, one for a person who is just renting items directly from us and another for someone who's going to be getting an item that is subleased?
So your contracts will be basically the same. For your client, your contract will be the same, but you will have another contract that is with the subleaser that kind of goes through a lot of the stuff, things they want it done, because they might not want you to take it out of a certain area, or they might have a limitation on what stuff you can rent and what quantities you can rent. So you'll work that out when you first set up with the subleaser, and then you'll be able to go through all that stuff. That's why you talk to them, so you can get understandings and get it all written down in the contract and get it signed so you can be able to use their services. But for the most part, you have one contract to your clients. It's the same thing if it's written for you or for someone else. They'll still have to be reliable for it. If you currently don't have a contract, or you think your contract doesn't cover anything, we currently right now are offering our contract that we use with clients on a regular basis. We have sent this out to over 10,000 clients. You can download that down in the link in the description.
The benefits of subrenting is you can sell stuff you do not have. If you run out of items, you can run to somebody else for backup to get those items covered, and you can basically use other people's items to grow your business. An example of that is we had a local tent only company reach out to us that they're having troubles renting out their tents. We're always renting our tents out, so we're going to link up with each other and we're going to subrent his tents to our clients. I thought this was a great idea because A, it costs $0 to us, and it's nothing but profit. So something that we do very well is our marketing. Sometimes too well, as you see, our inventory can't keep up. So an alternative would be subrenting and just collecting the profits, and we can decide whether to pocket it or grow our tent inventory to take care of everything in-house.
One of the biggest cons for subleasing, I believe, is the cost. It's just that generally, if you had the items, you wouldn't have to pay this cost over and over. So you're spending money on acquiring the rentals for the specific order, but you're not actually building your inventory up, because you have two sides of the business. You have your cash flow that you make on the items, and then you have the actual equity you have in each of the assets that you have to be able to build up. So you want to be building both of these up at the same time, and you can't really do that when you're actually subleasing from someone. It's like owning the house. If you were doing rental arbitrage, which this is basically rental arbitrage, if you own the house and you made it, you will get the equity involved with it. If you don't own the house, you just get just the cash flow. So another one, you have an asset that you actually can sell later on. And right now, if you just subleasing, you won't be able to do that. So that's why we recommend that you take the subleasing that you're going to do and eventually turn those into purchases if it makes sense for you.
All the information discussed in this podcast today is actually on our ultimate checklist. So this is a rental guide made by us, the Rental Boys, showing you how you could start your business and how you could grow and profit. And the best of all, it's completely free. Download below.